The portion of scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 11, reading various verses. Dear friends in Christ, worship is often described as the heartbeat of a Christian. Just like a body's heart beats, so a Christian worships his Savior. It's simply what a Christian does. At worship services, we give thanks to, we sing the praises of, we bow down to and worship our Lord for everything He has done for us. But how can you worship the Lord for everything He has done for you if you don't know everything He has done for you? And that's where Christian education comes in. That's where Bible study comes into play. Call it the brain of a Christian. The heart loves what the mind knows. We learn what Christ has done for us as we read and study His Word, and then we worship and thank and praise Him for it. So both worship and Bible study then are essential parts, essential to a Christian and a Christian's life. We want to know our God. We want to know who He is and what He has done. We want to know what His will for us is in our lives, so we study His Word. We can do that by reading our Bibles at home, by attending Bible study here at church where applications are made, questions are asked, insights are given that we wouldn't have noticed on our own or thought about on our own. And yet, for many of us, Christian education isn't all that big of a priority. Now, we get too busy, too distracted by the ways of the world around us, or we just don't care too much about God and His Word. So today, we receive encouragement. Encouragement from God to cherish His Word, to put front and center in our lives, and to teach it to our children. This book of Deuteronomy means second law, because it was kind of a second giving of the law, especially the Ten Commandments was given a second time in chapter 5 of Deuteronomy. Now it's a book that consists mostly of lengthy sermons by Moses. Now Moses was about to die. The Israelites will be led by Joshua into the promised land. So Moses wanted to preach the law and preach the gospel one last time to his people. He reminded them of God's grace in saving them from Egypt, of God's care and compassion as He took care of them as they wandered through the wilderness. Moses also gave them warnings and encouragements. He encouraged them to live according to God's commands. Verse 1 is a good example. Love the Lord your God and keep His requirements, His decrees, His laws, and His commands always. Our text for today takes place in the middle of Moses' second sermon. This whole sermon, including our text, is basically one long explanation of the first commandment. You shall have no other gods. Moses talked against open idolatry, openly worshiping false gods and bowing down to them, as he did in verse 16. Be careful, or you will be enticed to turn away and worship other gods and bow down to them. But Moses didn't just talk about open idolatry. He also talked against and warned against secret idolatry, that is, making something or putting something ahead of God in our lives, thus making it more important than God and His Word. Moses warned the people about this because they would soon be on their own, so to speak. Not only would Moses leave them, but in a way, God wouldn't be there as well. You see, God had been with the Israelites for the past 40 years. They saw his presence in the pillar of cloud and the pillar of fire. He was with them day in and day out. They saw the glory of the Lord dwell in the tabernacle that they set up when they camped in the wilderness. He told them what to do, where to go, and when to leave. He was with them every step of the way. But when they entered the promised land, there was no longer that visible manifestation of God. The pillar of cloud and fire were no longer there. Sure, God would be with them. He would fight wars for them. He would talk to their leaders. But he wouldn't be front and center of them day in and day out as he has been for 40 years. So in a way, they were on their own. So Moses preached to them to encourage them in their sanctified living. And in a way, you're on your own too. No, sure, God is watching over you. He's always taking care of you and protecting you. He's never going to leave or forsake you. But he's not here to hold your hand. He doesn't treat you as infants and leading the way to show you what to do again and again and forcing you to do so. No, he gives you worship. He gives you freedom. He gives you freedom to worship him and to obey his commands. He gives you freedom to study his word on your own, as your heart desires. Now, he wants you to obey him. He wants you to worship him. He wants you to read his word. He's not going to force you to do so. He doesn't want you to mindlessly worship him, or doesn't want you to study his word because you felt forced into it. No, he wants you to do so out of your own heart. Because you want to. Because you have that desire. He wants you to study his word and to worship him as it flows out of your heart. And that's right. That's the way it should be. But the problem comes with us and our hearts. The problem comes with a sinful nature that is so easily enticed away by the ways of this world. Now, we may not commit open idolatry and bow down to false gods like Buddha and Allah. But secret idolatry, now that's a different story. Things become more important than God and his word at times in our lives. We get too busy to worry about God. We have too many things going on in our lives to read the Bible at home. We have many things we'd rather do than to take an hour out of our schedule a week and to attend Bible study. We have about 75 communicants in our congregation. About 75 people who could attend Bible class. Last school year, we averaged about 13 in three classes. 13 out of 75. Had to cancel a Thursday evening Bible class because only one person wasn't interested in attending. Today, out of those 75, we had five, including me, in Bible class. What's so important that you can't study God's word? What took God's place this time? What takes God's place throughout the week? And when we fail to study God's word, it is the brain of a Christian that suffers. Sure, we can learn God's word in worship. We hear God's word as we worship in the liturgy and in the three lessons that we learn, but that's not the primary purpose of worship. It's not to teach us. It's to praise and thank God for what we have learned in our lives. Our knowledge of God and his word, his grace, his compassion, his protection and deliverance, they dissipate. If we're not in our Bibles, we remember less and less, and we question more. We question God's word more. We're more open and susceptible to the attacks of unbelievers, and the more easily the devil can entice us away and create doubt in our minds. The less we are in Bible study, the less we know about God and His Word, and the weaker our faith may become, and the easier it may be to lose the one true faith. Moses knew all this. He knew what would happen if the Israelites failed to be in God's Word again and again, so he encouraged them to put God and His Word first, in front and center in their lives. Fix these words of mine in your hearts and minds. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. These words of Moses stand for us today when it comes to all of God's Word. Fix them in your hearts. That means to love them, to cherish God's Word, to care more about God's Word than everything else in this life. To fix them in your minds. That means to know it, to understand it, to study it, to believe it. But this word for mind is probably better translated as soul or even life. So fix the word in your soul or in your life. It means to make the word part of your life. To make your life the word. To make the word part of your very being, of who you are. Tie them as symbols around your hand. Have them readily available. Always looking at them. Always saying, know the word as well as you know the back of your hand. Put them around your forehead. Or really, as the Hebrew says, tie them around a headband and have it right in between your eyes. Front and center, so you're always looking at it, so you're always thinking about it. Or to sum up this encouragement by Moses, love His Word, cherish His Word, know His Word, and keep His Word front and center in your lives. Of course, that's not the only thing we do with His Word. Christian education isn't just for adults. Obviously, it's for our children as well. We are installing our Sunday school teachers today. This is the first day of Sunday school after a summer off. We want our children to love and cherish God's Word as much as we do, so we teach it to our children. As Moses says in verse 19, teach them to your children, talking about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. You pass on a lot of things to your children, a lot of things that you love and cherish, a lot of things that you know is beneficial to know. You pass on your love for a particular sports team. Or maybe knowledge how to work on cars and engines, or how to knit or sew, or your knowledge about how to do math, or what is proper English grammar. You pass on a lot of things to your children. So how much more do you want to pass on God and His Word to your children? And so you do so whenever you get the chance. In our houses, or on the road when you're driving, when you get up, when you pray before meals, or have devotions or prayers before bed, whenever you get a chance, you share God's Word with your children. Through prayers, devotions, or everyday teachable moments, you teach God's Word to your kids. And you have other opportunities to teach God's Word to your kids. That's one of the reasons why we come together as a congregation. To teach all people God's Word in its truth and purity. Now we have Sunday school, we have confirmation class, basic, and VBS. They have special things for Easter and Christmas. How well do you make use of all those opportunities to teach your children God's Word? We have 29 kids enrolled in Sunday school this year. Today we had 15 member children there. About half. Last year we averaged about 12 to 13 on Sunday. That's less than half. Why do we sometimes struggle to teach God's Word to our children or make it a priority in their lives? And there's other ways to teach your children. Show them that God's Word is important to you and important to your family. As Moses commands, write them on your door frames of your houses and on your gates. Put Christ where you can see Him. So that when they enter the house, when they leave it, God's Word is always there. It's always on their minds. And lead by example. Show them the gospel is a priority in your life so that it will be a priority in their lives throughout their time on earth. Why would we do this? Why do we love and cherish God's Word? Why do we make it a priority in our lives? Why do we teach it to our children? Why do we always have it front and center? Why do we take our children to Sunday school and confirmation class and VBS and basic? Not because God may punish you if you don't. Not because I'm up here once again talking about it. Not because I'm making you feel bad. Not because you feel as if I'm guilt tripping you into studying His Word. Do it because it's the Word of the Lord. The Word of your Savior. Because this Word makes you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. And that is the primary purpose of the Word. It gives faith and it strengthens faith. That faith receives the blessings that Christ won for you. Blessings that you would not have known about. A Savior you would not have known about if it wasn't for God and His Word. It's only in His Word that you hear about God who came down to live on this earth as one of us. Who not once sinned and yet was punished as a criminal through crucifixion. That on that cross He took our sins upon Himself, was forsaken by God, and was condemned for what we have done wrong so that we would not die eternally. You see, a Savior who after His suffering and death rose from the dead to give us the free and perfect gift of eternal life in heaven forever. It is only in His Word and His Word alone that you hear about Christ, that you hear about a loving and compassionate Savior who did for you what you cannot do. That is the primary purpose of the Word. And there are secondary blessings that we get from the Word. Through the Word, you are encouraged when the world gets you down. You're comforted when tragedy strikes. You find peace and hope when faced with death, whether it's your own or of a loved one. You find peace and encouragement. In the resurrection of your Savior and in your own resurrection. You have that sure hope and confidence that eternal life is waiting for you in heaven. So through the Word, your faith is strengthened. Your soul is relieved. Your hope restored. Through the Word, you are able to fight off the attacks of the devil, the world, our sinful nature. Through the Word that gives and strengthens faith, you receive the blessings of the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Through the Word, you learn more about God, His love for you, and His will for you. And that is why we study His Word. That's why we love and cherish it. That's why we teach it to our children. There's no other proper motivation. There's no other reason to do so. You study His Word because of all the blessings that God gives you through His Word. You cherish His Word because it makes you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Just as someone taught it to you, you teach it to your children. Grace, salvation, mercy, they're found only in His Word. They are received through faith, which the Word strengthens and gives. You get into the Word because it gives eternal life. What more could you want? What other motivation do you need to study His Word and to teach it to your children? Amen. Please stand.